There's a line of pride. And every person who loves God comes to this line that they have to step over. Worship is part of it. When you pour your heart into worship, you kind of have to abandon yourself a little bit and kind of forget what everyone's thinking around you. And when it comes to laying your life down for Him and giving your life to Him, there's a line that has to be crossed. And I want you to listen to me. I can't tell you how proud we are of each of you for being here, for taking time out of your life to come here out of hunger. And as you cross that line, you'll have to do it many times. I've had to do it over and over in my life. My son, he has a little pride. He's 8. Rises up, and I break it off of him, and then a few days later, it rises up. Well, I have that same little pride in me that rises up, and God asks me to, okay, step over that. And that pride tries to get you to live your life for you, for your flesh. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about running around drinking and smoking and living like the world. I'm not talking about that. It's much more subtle. It's a pride that says, I want to serve God or go to church, but I don't want to obey Him. And as you face that pride in your life, I want to encourage you. You'll find that God always loves you. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. 1,000 times He's faithful to you. I'm going to ask everyone just to lift your hands up with me, just a little bit. Go ahead, it won't hurt you. Lift your hands up. And just say, Father, I'm yours. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I trust you. Thank you for never giving up on me. I'm yours. I'm yours tonight, tomorrow, and every day. Thank you for loving me so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. When I first started to be pulled by God to give up my heart to Him, I remember I'd already given up my unsaved friends. I found that I was different around them than I was in church. And I wanted to be like the guy I was in church. And a bunch of us guys got saved in our church, so we had a big group, and we had a lot of fun, did a lot of fun things, and after a little while, God began to pull me closer to Him. And whenever He does that, whenever God pulls you closer to Him, He starts to ask for things. And when He began to ask me for things, one of the things He asked me to do was quit doing things that me and my Christian friends were doing. And it wasn't sin. We weren't out doing anything really bad, but we weren't filling our day with other things either. And I remember having a difficult time choosing it was going to cost me to let go of my Christian friends, because you have people you hang out with, but then when you don't do what they want or do what they do, then they move on. And I remember one of the things we used to do was cruise. I don't know if they do that in where you're from. Or maybe I'm too old. Back before the internet. We used to cruise. We'd get in our car, we'd drive around the strip. And we had a real cool, real nice strip in Lethbridge. And we'd just drive. And a bunch of us guys would be in the car. And we'd chase the girls in their cars. And we'd get to the stoplight. We'd race, And I had an old car, and we'd pull up beside a fast car. And we planned, we could see the stoplight from the side, and they couldn't because they were on the inside lane. And we'd rev up our engine, and smoke would come out of the back. And the guys in the fast car would laugh at us. And we're like, come on, we'll race you, come on. Well, they'd say, all right, we'll race you, we'll embarrass you. And you know, there's lots of people out cruising, so everyone's watching. But we'd wait because we could see the stoplight on the side. So when it turned yellow from the side, that meant we'd time it. So right when it turned red, that meant ours was going to turn green. So right before ours turned green, we'd honk the horn. And so the guy in the other car would look. And when he looked, we'd take off. And we'd have enough head start to win the race, you know. Well, we used to go cruising. That was the thing we did after church and just for fun. And the Lord began to pull me because I got hungry for him. He began to ask me to stop doing that. And I remember my best friend, his name was Trevor. We got saved at the same time. He was a lot of fun. A good friend. But when God wants you to go forward in him, sometimes he has to replace things in your life. And one thing I've learned is whatever you give up when God asks you, he replaces it with better. Not before you give it up, but after you give it up. And I finally got enough courage built up, took a couple weeks to tell him I couldn't cruise anymore. And I remember because Trevor was a farm boy, and there's about five or six of us would always hang out, and Trevor got a Porsche. Now, not a fancy Porsche, an old beat-up Porsche. But it's still a Porsche. When you're 18, 17, it's still cool. So he said, man, look what I got. I got a Porsche. Let's go cruising. I said, oh, I can't go cruising anymore. Oh, okay, look, we won't go cruising. Just let me give you a ride, and you could see what it's like. So I got in. It was two seats and two little seats in the back, you know, sunroof. And next thing you know, we picked up another friend, and there's four of us stuffed in this little Porsche that we can barely fit. And guess what we ended up doing? Cruising. And I felt such a conviction inside of me. And it wasn't that we were doing anything bad, but it was him pulling me further. And I want you to know that because some of you are going to go home and you're going to find that you don't fit in. That there's something about God that keeps pulling you further. And you want to fit in with the group. You want to be just one of the gang, but God keeps pulling you forward. How many have felt that? It's because he believes in you. There's something in you he believes in. And I remember we were cruising, and finally I said, look, you have to drop me off at home. I can't do this anymore. And it was like I lost my friends. But God replaced them with much better friends. He always does. I remember one of them came back a couple years later. He came to church, and they were having a testimony night. And they said, someone, just tell us someone who's inspired you. And one person said, well, my dad inspired me. Another person said, a teacher. And one of my old friends that I used to cruise with, I haven't seen him in a couple years, said, I want to just say Alan Taylor inspires me. And I was shocked. He said, I was a little bit upset when you stopped hanging out with us. But it proved to me that I can make it because you made it. So you don't know what God has in store for you. But let me tell you, God has great things in store for you. Being at your age, it's sometimes difficult to see the future. I make fun of young people who think they're too smart. Not in a mean way, but in a healthy way. Because the worst thing you can do when you're young is think you're smart. Like you know it all. My 5-year-old girl knows it all. She says, she makes up words. She speaks Spanish. She doesn't speak Spanish, but she teaches me Spanish. That's Spanish, Daddy. How do you know that? I just know it. I mean, she makes all kinds of words. They make gibberish, but she thinks it's Spanish. Ava, that's not a word. That's Spanish, Daddy. How do you know? I just know. I'm just smart. I know. See, the worst thing you could do is take charge of your life. The best thing you could do is always don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Listen, let me give you a little advice before I start preaching here. Find someone older than you, preferably much older than you, who's been around a little bit, who loves God, and let them speak into your life. I know some of you are out there and you don't have a church or don't have much leadership to be a part of, but find someone that you can have speak into your life. You know, it's funny to me when you know, a young couple gets married and you're like, how come you married him? Well, the Holy Ghost told me. No, he didn't. I could have saved her 20 years of misery, not even hearing the Holy Ghost, just from experience. Some of the decisions you're going to make can be life-altering. You know, there's some decisions that don't matter, but some are big. And if you don't have someone that you have let speak into your life who's been around, I'm not talking about your friends. Do you think he's cute? Oh, yeah, he's cute. You need to get with him. I'm not talking about your friends. Oh, shandada, shandada, yes, hallelujah. That's there's certain things that you'd be wise not to trust, knowing the difference between your flesh and the Spirit of God, that it's wise to get counsel and not from your buddies. It can save you lots and lots and lots of struggle. They say there's two ways to learn, the easy way and the hard way. The hard way you learn is from your mistakes. How many know you can learn from your mistakes? That's the hard way to learn. The easy way to learn is from someone else's mistakes. Have someone in your life. Find someone. If you can't find someone, let me know. We'll find someone for you. I'm serious, because there's some decisions that you may need help in. And if you think you're too smart, you could make some big mistakes. And we don't want you making mistakes. We want you succeeding. We want each of you to succeed in your life, to find your calling, to overcome things. I was a youth pastor for many, many years, and I learned that we all can be self-deceiving sometimes when we want something really bad. I remember one time I was really frustrated with where I was, and I felt I heard the Lord tell me, it's time to move. I thought, praise the Lord, I agree with that. And I thought it was God. I swore it was God. I even told someone. God spoke to me. It's time to move. But I was really frustrated. And I said, God, I feel it's you, but until I feel peace, I'm not going to make that decision. And after a few months, all that frustration left, and I didn't want to move. I woke up one morning, and the Lord told me, he said, that was a test of your soul, trying to get you to obey it rather than me. People say God said an awful lot. I find that most of it isn't God said. All right. 2 Chronicles 16:9, that's the verse that God gave me when he began to call me and tell me he had plans for me, and I found myself worried. I said, God, I want to give up my friends. I want to give up these things. I'm going to give up my life to you, but you're still not going to pick me because I don't think I'm good enough. I don't have enough to offer. I don't have enough to give you. I don't think I'm good enough. And this is the verse he gave me. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's when he showed me that he's searching for a heart that's loyal to him. That's what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for perfection. He wasn't looking for holiness. He wasn't looking for talent or ability or super strength. He was looking for one thing, a heart that would be loyal to him. That's what he was looking for. That's all he needs from you, is a heart that will be loyal to him. I remember standing in my room when I was 17, 18 years old and looking up to the sky as if God was flying around the earth. And I said, "You can stop here. Don't need to look any further. Stop right here. I'll give you my life. I'll give you everything. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Father, I give my life to you." And that's the day that changed my future. See, God wants to pick you to go with him. Imagine, I had a little dog, and it was a tiny little thing. His name was Spencer. Spencer was tiny, like 3 pounds. Pastor Dave said he came to my house, and it's like the spot running around in his eye. He was so small, Spencer. And Spencer was a lady's dog. All the ladies liked Spencer. All the female dogs and female humans just fell in love with Spencer. "Oh, look how cute, cute, cute." He'd just eat it up. Like, yeah, yeah. He'd like be petting by all the girls and be looking at me like, "Yeah, I got it." But Spencer, he was what you call a lap dog. He was a miniature Yorkie. They called a lap dog because they like to sit on your lap. You know, a little like a purse dog or something. Yeah, well, Spencer was a little more than a purse dog. He was actually a lap dog. But he wasn't used to running, so I tried to take him for a walk. It's like, "All right, boy, you're going to go for a walk. We need to exercise you." And I put a leash on him, and I tell you, this little dog, I mean, this big, 3 pounds. 3 pounds, the size of my shoe. I put a leash on him, and just the collar would have to tighten up to the last notch just to get around his neck. And I start walking, and he'd walk about 3 steps, and then he'd just squat. And I'm like, "Come on." He'd look at me like, "I'm not moving. Come on." "Spencer, come on." I tried everything. I tried to bribe him. I would drag him blocks sometimes. And he would, like a possum would roll up in a ball. He would like roll up in some little defensive move. And I'd be dragging him. People would be looking at me. I'm dragging this thing by. Me and my dog going for a walk. Here we go. He's 3 pounds, and his little will was so stubborn that he was not going to let me take him for a walk because he didn't want to. Now, if my wife went for a walk, he'd walk with her. I'd go on a trip, and he would try to sleep on my side of the bed if I wasn't home. It's like, "I'm the man of the house now." A little 3 pound dog. But see, we're like that sometimes. "God, I'll follow you when it's good, when I agree, when I like it, when it's good for me. But when I don't like it, I'm going to resist you. And I'm going to try to find a way to justify." See, we always try to justify resisting. So I want to give you some advice tonight. Don't resist God. Don't let people talk you into resisting God. Don't let people... I want to be careful what I say. See, here at the Prayer Center, we believe in you. We believe that God can lead you and guide your steps. We believe in the power of praying in tongues. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will work incredible things inside of you and work out all kinds of garbage out of you. I had one guy tell me, there's this girl, and she prays in tongues, and I think I want to marry her. And I said, "Okay. Does she pray in tongues a lot?" "Yeah, she's just started praying in tongues a lot, but she likes the message. But she's really messed up. But she prays in tongues." I said, "Wait until she's fixed." You know, your whole world can be different. Your family, my world's completely different than my family's. I was raised heathen. I was raised in a worldly family. My father passed away when I was 4 years old. My stepfather would beat my mom every weekend just about. I'd wake up and her clothes would be all over the front yard because he kicked her out. I was raised around drugs and alcohol. I remember babysitting for my sister, going to babysit for her when I was 9 years old. And they put me in a circle with all her friends before they were going out, and they'd roll a joint and pass it around and try to get me to smoke with them. That was my upbringing. But you know what? I found Jesus. I don't have to go down that road. I found the Holy Ghost. I don't have to go down that road, or my children don't have to go down that road. Your future is full of great things. There's no limit to what God can do with you. And I found two things I'm concerned about with the young people. That you don't know you have a great future. That's the first thing. I find that some of us, once we begin to pray, lose the fun of believing for incredible things. I don't know if that makes sense or not. You forget why you're doing it. I'm praying in tongues so I can change the world. I pray in tongues so God can change me, so he can use me to change the world. Don't lose the hope of your future. Don't lose it. There's incredible things ahead of you. The other thing is, don't become independent. Don't become an island all to yourself. If you are out in Never Never Land and you don't have a church, you don't have friends that pray like you do, you got friends right here. This is where you need to find them. You need to find support and strength and believers on the same path with you that you can link arms with and hold on to. Jesus was never alone. He always had at least three guys around him wherever he went. Sometimes 12, sometimes 120. Don't be alone. There's a part of hearing God where you're supposed to hear God and you're responsible for yourself to grow in God. How many know that? You have as much of God as you want. But that is not a license to be alone and to avoid people speaking into your life. You need to have people speak into your life. You need to have friends who can see into your life. You need to have people who can speak into your life, mature people who can encourage you and even bring encouragement to you, say, hey, come on, you can do more. I find like my son knows how to avoid accountability. He'll come home from school, how was your day? Yeah, it was good. What happened? Oh, just a little thing, nothing much. What happened? He got called to the principal office for pulling out a pencil and chasing a friend and threatening to poke his eye out. You know, they were just playing, but he's the one who got. I said, you can't threaten people with a pencil. But see, it's in our flesh's desire to be not accountable, where we don't want people to speak into our life, because there's things that live in your flesh. That want to live. They want to hide in darkness. They want to hide in being secluded. Does that make sense? And when you get around people of your own age, people of old, you know, you can come in church and we all love you. You'll come up to the prayer line and probably 99 out of 100 times, God will not show a person's problems. You'll 99 of 100 times get great encouragement on the prayer line to overcome things and encouragement to keep moving forward. It's the ones who are closest to you that you let into your life to see you, to see parts of you, the good, the bad, the ugly. I remember I had one friend when I was I was praying a lot but got extra busy, and so we said, look, let's become accountable to each other for prayer. You know, because I'm having a hard time not sleeping in. Because I was working till midnight, 1 o'clock. I said, so I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I'll call you at 5. And I say, let's go pray. We'll go change the world. That was our model. Let's change the world. You ready to change the world? At 5 in the morning. I said, now if you tell me you're not going to come, I'm going to call you a girl. And so there's times, there's no way on earth I'd make it to prayer. The only reason I went was I didn't want him to make fun of me and call me a skirt or anything like that. Where's your skirt? You didn't make it to prayer. What happened to you, Nancy? Where are you? What happened? Get your big boy pants on. You should have been here for prayer. And so we added, I know here they have prayer here at the church. You know how important that is? Like, well, I don't need anyone to supervise me. You really don't. But when you add that sense of accountability, like, I'll show up and you show up, you're not so much accountable to a person, but you're accountable to each other. Guess what happens if you don't show up? Somebody knows. Someone knows, and you're not lost. You can get lost. I don't want you lost. I don't want you falling through the cracks. And next year, like, what was that boy's name? Where was he? Wasn't he supposed to be here this year? What was that girl's name? She was so nice, and she had such a good time at conference. You see her get touched, and she was so excited about serving God. Where is she? I don't see her. Did she show up? Anyone know her, remember her name? Anybody? See, people can get lost. We don't want you lost. We want you to be missed if you don't show up. You have a bad week, you should be getting phone calls from friends saying, hey, we missed you. Where are you? Come on, you can die. I don't want to do it anymore. How many have been there in prayer where you just said, I don't want to do it anymore? Like, already you've been there. Yeah. There's people in empty seats here who've been there, and they stopped. But they had someone, a partner, to nudge them a little bit. Say, come on, we can do this. I've got lots of partners in my life where if I have a bad day, they're always having a good day. And they lift me up, and then next week they're having a bad day. And then I'm lifting them up. No, last week you said we're going to fail, you're going to fail. No, I don't feel like that this week. This week we're going to win. Come on. I'm going to fail. No, you can make it. The next week is your turn. I'm just not. Find some people, some friends, some partners to walk in with God with. And don't be alone. Don't let yourself be alone. The devil loves to isolate. He loves to make you feel, there's a thousand words for it, guilty, prideful, self-centered. Broken. There's lots of reasons he'll tell you why you don't need someone in your life. Let me tell you, you need someone. We all need someone. Because this is a walk that's supposed to last a lifetime. It's been a challenge, I guess I might say, to find the balance of helping each other without leading, without overriding the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need both. You need friends, you need mature people in your life, and you need the Holy Ghost to lead you. Amen? So this is the verse he gave me. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal towards him. I gave him my heart that day. And I stood up in my room and I said, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. My life is yours. See, and that started me down a road where I walked away from my country, my family. I walked away from my friends. I was 1 week away from university. I played soccer. I had a scholarship. And I walked away from everything. Step by step to follow God. And now I look back at my life and I say, wow, I'm so thankful I'd said that to him. Because I've been surrounded, listen, by thousands of people who wanted to live their life in ministry. And most of them are not doing what they wanted to do. When you're young, you have a feeling it's all just going to happen. Yeah, God's going to call on my life. Hallelujah. I'll be doing it. Yes. But to get there, he has a road for you. And it's a road of tests and trials and decisions. And it's many turns where you have to lay your life down and your pride down. I say, God, not my will, but your will be done. On that road, there are 1,000 excuses. You will run into thousands and thousands of excuses as you get older of why you don't have time to pray, why you don't have time to serve God. We have thousands of them. And it's your responsibility with the Holy Spirit to walk through each of them and let nothing stop you from obeying God. When they sang that song tonight about surrendering, I knew that's what he wanted to talk about. You are more valuable to him than anything else. You're the prize that he's after. And he's very jealous. The scripture says that God is jealous. That means he doesn't want you going to someone else, being led by someone else. He wants to be the one who leads you and guides you. And I can't tell you how impressed we are with how hungry each of you are to be here and to receive. I don't know if I've ever seen such spiritually hungry hogs as you guys. I say that in the nicest terms. I don't think, if I can prophesy to you, I don't think most of you realize just how important your future is. How important it is for you to get past those turns and twists on the road, get past the challenges of pride and people and distractions, and to let him lead your life. How many feel called to the ministry, if I can say it that way? Hold your hand up high. How many feel a calling of some sort into God's maybe entrepreneurship or something like that? You feel like you're called to serve God more than just go to church on Sunday. Hold your hand up. Yeah. Hold your hand up. Very good. There's lots of twists and turns. It's an adventure. I had one man, he told me, he said, yeah, when I was dating my wife, she was a church girl. So I went to church to date her. And for 2 years I went to church every Sunday until she married me. And the day after she married me, I didn't go to church for years. There's lots of twists and turns. You know, at your age, I don't know how I survived. I have no idea how I survived. Well, we weren't raised in church, so I have no idea. Both of my sisters had babies by the time they were 17. My mom was married 5 times. I have no idea how I survived, except for God. There's lots of twists and turns ahead of you. I don't want you to be afraid of those. You don't need to be afraid of the devil. You don't need to be afraid of twists and turns. You don't need to be afraid of making mistakes. The only thing you need to be afraid of is pride. Pride that says, I can figure it out on my own. Pride that says, this is what I want, I'm going to get it. I remember when I was 18 years old and saying, God, please don't come until I get married. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not 18 anymore. There are adventures ahead of you. Some of you will travel the world. Some of you will do great things for God, be teachers and preachers and businessmen. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you every day to lay your life down. Laying your life down is not a one-shot deal. Because you can do it for a while, then you get tired. Then you have to make the decision to do it again. That's why I blast some people when they're like, I'm single. I got nothing going on. I work. I'm too tired to go to church. It's like, man, I got a woman at home who's got two kids, one on each hip. She's got a husband she's got to take care of. Kids are throwing up in the middle of the night, and she's in church. What do you mean you can't be in church? That's a little decision of pride. A little decision of pride. Can I preach a little bit? I want to preach a little bit. A little decision of pride lets you do what you want because you have a good reason for it. I believe in you. God believes in you. There is a calling on your life, on your future. And if you just walk towards it and obey Him, you'll make it. It doesn't matter how dysfunctional you are. It doesn't matter what you lack in your life or your mistakes you've made in your past. You will make it. But you have to give up that pride that says, I want to live my life my way. Every disciple had to lay their life down. Look over in Mark with me. We'll start in, let me see if I can find it real quick. Chapter 3. Verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal the sick, sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And these are he goes on to name all the 12, and they went into a house. Now Jesus walked, and he called all these men, and they had to lay their life down to follow him. Now you know there was many people who followed Jesus, sometimes 120, sometimes multitudes. Thousands of people followed him, but he only picked 12. Now say this with me, say, I'm called. See, you're called, but you have to get chosen. It says many are called, but few are. So does he choose? Like I said he does choose, but you let him choose you. Like I said in the message, was that this morning or the other day? Let's look under your seat. We have a special numbers under 5 seats for 5 specially called people. And if you find that special number, you are picked. Praise the Lord, you're chosen. No, what allows him to choose you is this one simple thing, that you surrender your life to him. And once you start that process of surrendering him, tomorrow you'll be challenged. And you'll have to do it again. And the next day you'll be challenged. And you'll have to do it again. And the next day you'll be challenged. And you'll have to surrender your pride again. Until eventually, it's normal to be surrendered. I travel with Pastor Dave quite a bit. I've been blessed that way. And that's a man who surrendered. I remember he asked me to go to the restaurant with him one conference. And I'd already spent lots of time with him, and down in Tennessee, he'd come for 6 weeks out of the year, and I got to spend so much time with him. Well, at the conference, we went to go to a restaurant, and And there was people who hadn't seen him for a year, so I sat in the back table and let them. I said, well, you know, you sit with Pastor Dave. I'll sit back there. And Pastor Dave said, come here, Alan, come here, sit here. I said, what? He said, no, sit with me. I said, Pastor Dave, I don't have to sit with you. I'll see you next week, all week. He said, no, I get to pick my friends. I was with him in Tennessee where he'd preached three services. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 hours of preaching. And then the pastor wanted him to go out to eat afterwards. And I watched Pastor Dave, exhausted, sitting there talking to this pastor because he loved him when he needed to be in bed. The pastor that you serve, Gary, or that you're under, Gary and Dave and Tim, these are men who have surrendered their life to the gospel. Not just in time, not just in preaching, but they don't have a life that they can live and say, I achieved this and I did this in my life. They don't go on vacations. Their life is about the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, I watch too many young people in the church world today, not talking about here, I'm talking about in the whole church world, living their life, filling their life of stuff for themselves. Why don't you be different? Blaze a different trail. You have a wonderful future with God. Now, I know I'm talking to you like adults because some of you are like adults. You're mature spiritually. I'm an old youth pastor. I can do dancing if you want and singing and laughing. But there's a real urgency in me today. For you. You are called. So go get chosen. Lay your life down every day. Get your rear end praying in tongues and worshiping and fasting. Find people to partner with you. If you can't find anyone, let me know. I'll find someone for you. To whatever you need. Call, talk to. I'll find you a good one, not a lazy one. Hey, let's get to pray. Can we skip? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's, you know, that's a bad prayer partner. I'm going shopping. Okay, we can pray and shop at the same time. I had one guy that we got praying. I'll never forget. He prayed with us for a while, and then he stopped showing up. And he spent days golfing. He said, "Oh, this is great. You can golf and pray. You know that." I was like, man, you're pushing the line. Yeah. He wanted to be a preacher, but he's not. You know how many people are like that? How many people have dreams of God doing something, but it's not happening? We're full of it. The church are full of people. Filled up to the brim with people who once had dreams of doing great things for God, and now they just live their life and go to church. I don't want you to end up like that. I want you to be changing the world. We should be here. I want what Pastor Dave says. We want to eat your dust. We want you to get everything you can from us and run past us and let us eat your dust. That's what we want. But there's traps and snares out there. And if you think you're too smart, you're not. Get some men in your life and women in your life who are older. If you don't have any right now. Get some friends and partners to partner with. And lay your life down for God. You can do this. You're the heart of this whole conference. I hope you know that. You're the heart. When Tim looks out here, I want to tell you, when Tim looks out, he looks at you. Because you're the future. You're the ones going to be carrying on this message. You're the ones who are supposed to lead this message, lead people in this. Be careful. The road you're on has lots of twists and turns. But don't be afraid of twists and turns. Don't ever be afraid of making mistakes. Don't ever be afraid of not having enough. All those are lies. You never have to be afraid of that. Be afraid of pride. Pride that says, I can do this without him. I'm 40 4 years old now, and I still need them. I need them more today than I did when I was younger. That's what he likes. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of failing. Lay your pride down. Say, God, I'm yours. And tomorrow, you'll be faced with a challenge. And the challenges come many ways. Sometimes God pushes you in the challenge. I remember he told me to start do things. I didn't think I was ready. Listen, I am not a qualified preacher. I never feel like I'm the right guy to preach. I just get up and do it. And then God has to push me out all the time. You're ready. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Get out there. No. You should see when I'm here at the seat getting ready to preach here in the prayer center. I'm sitting down and praise and worship is on. You should hear what goes on in my head. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to preach. I'm thinking, okay, you got to get up there. What are you going to say? I don't know. Just get up there. Because he believes in me more than I believe in me. See, I get up to preach. I need him. My confidence is not in me or what I know. The confidence that comes when I preach is I know he'll be here. Because he's been here 1,000 times before. You can believe that he'll be here for you. You can believe in how much he believes in you. You can believe the greatness he sees in your future. You can believe in that. Pride says, I want to do it myself. Pride says, I want to be the one. I want to be the one who makes the decision. Pride says, I want to be the one who makes the decision. I remember when I was a little kid and I was, you know, messy kid. And one day I was going to clean my room up. And I said, okay, I'm going to clean my room up and surprise my mom. I was probably 12 or something. And my mom yelled from upstairs, said, Alan, get in there and clean your room. And I'd already cleaned it. I said, no, not going to do it. She took all the joy because I wanted to do it on my own. Pride says, I have to be the one who does it. No one can tell me to do it. That's pride. Get over yourself. Be smart. Because there's great things ahead of you. I want to ask you to do this. There is a grace here from God that will give you everything you need. If you're hurt, if you're broken, if you don't think you can do it, there's a grace here where you can receive from him all the courage you need that you can do it. How many have felt that you maybe couldn't make it, couldn't finish this course? Hold your hand up. Yeah. Good for you. You're still here. You may have felt it, but you don't believe it. That's why you're still here. How many have felt maybe you made some mistakes that are too big? You don't have to put your hand up on that one. You haven't. There's no mistakes you made that are too big. There's only one thing you need to be afraid of. What is it? Pride. Do you need to be afraid of the devil? No, you don't. Do you need to be afraid of your big mistakes? Do you need to be afraid of failing? Do you need to be afraid of not knowing enough scripture? So one thing you need to be afraid of, what is it?
Pride.
That's it. If you face that every day and surrender your heart to him every day, especially being young. Young, you're supposed to swallow your pride. You know, you're supposed to show respect to older people. You're supposed to. You're the one supposed to swallow your pride. When you go in a car and there's four of you in the car and there's an older gentleman in the car, who gets the best seat? You should let the older guy. Of course you should. Or if it's a lady. If you're smart, you let the lady get the good seat. It's when you're young, you have to swallow your pride. And you have to do it all the time. Teachers tell you what to do. I remember I had one girl, we had a maternity home where we accepted pregnant teenagers, and their parents got rid of them and wouldn't help them. Their family got rid of them, and they found themselves pregnant. So we took them in and put them in the house, fed them, and helped them with all the insurance, and helped them to have the baby so they wouldn't do abortion. And then we also had them come to Bible college. And I remember one girl, so funny. She came marching into my office, and she's mad. She goes, "Pastor Allen, I'm just mad." Her little belly sticking out, skinny little girl, probably 16 years old, said, what's wrong? "I'm just so mad." "Well, what's wrong?" "Those people at that house, they're just ticking me off." She didn't say that word, but that's as close as I can get. I said, "Well, what?" "Well, they tell me when to go to bed. They tell me when to wake up. They tell me to cook and do dishes. I don't like people telling me what to do." My little belly's bouncing around. I said, "Well, honey, you know, you're 8 months pregnant." I said, "In 1 month, you're going to have a little baby tell you what to do. That little baby's going to tell you when you get to go to bed. He's going to tell you when you got to get up. And you're going to have to cook and clean for that little thing and change his diapers. Life is about someone telling you what to do. That's life. Someone's always going to tell you what to do. When you don't have adults telling you what to do, it's God's going to tell you what to do. And when you get used to that and say, okay, the rest of my life, I don't get to do what I want to do. When you accept that, life becomes a whole lot easier. And I watch it. I watch people struggle with that. At one point, they squirm and fight with God and fight with their boss and fight with work. And they fight and squirm and it's like finally when they just say, "I give up." They're happy. There's a grace here to help you to surrender. Not just today, but every day. And you'll face many curves. I know some of you come from homes that are broken. Homes that are not peaceful or joyful. I want you to look at me, please. Everyone look at me for a moment. Some of you come from homes that are not peaceful. They're not joyful. And I'm going to tell you right now. Let me tell you as a pastor. I'm sorry you have to grow up quicker than a family that has peace in the home, the children in that home. I'm sorry that you have to grow up quicker. I'm sorry about that. But you still have to grow up quicker. It's not fair, I understand. You just have to grow up quicker. You cannot let the lack of peace in your home mean lack of peace in you. Get hold of this tonight and say, I won't let excuses justify. You know, some of you don't have dads. You know, I understand. I didn't have a dad for a while. Then I got a stepdad that beat my mom. An alcoholic. I had to send him to prison. Sometimes I wonder if I didn't have a dad for some of those years, it might have been better. There's lots of reasons to get hurt. There's lots of reasons to be hurt. I understand. But there's no reason to stay hurt. You have a father who loves you and will walk with you every day of your life, who believes in you and has a plan for you, and he wants to lead your steps. The reason we pray in the Holy Spirit is to help him to lead us, not to replace leading us, to help him to lead us and help us to follow him. So there's a grace here tonight. And here's what I want to do. I want to have them sing this song again. And as they do, I don't want you to stand unless you're ready to yield your life over to Him every day. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes, or it means that you're saying, God, I'm willing to walk with you if you'll help me. Okay? And as you do, as you stand, it's saying, I give up my pride. You have a right to speak in my life. I let others have the right to speak into my life. And when you do, there's a grace that's going to come and fall on you. Maybe you have good reasons to be broken and hurt. But today you're saying, I'm not using those reasons anymore to stay the same. You can stand anytime. But if you're not ready to stand, I don't want you to stand. I'll have more respect for you if you're not ready. Okay? But if you're ready, then as you stand, anytime, His grace is going to come on you right where you are. And you're letting your past go. You're letting excuses go. You're saying, my life is yours, God. And every challenge I face, I will surrender to you. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't feel worthy to stand or worthy to surrender to Him, it says here, He's just looking for a heart that's loyal to Him. Don't look at your past. Don't look at your failures. He's not asking for perfection. He's not asking you even to be strong. He's just challenged you tonight to say, I'm willing. I'm willing. God spoke to me one time and asked me if I would pursue Him in the high call. And I looked at it and I said, I don't know if I can. You're asking so much from me. I don't think I'm that kind of man who can give that much to you. But I said, but God, if you help me, I choose yes. And that's all I needed to hear was me willing to walk with Him. No matter His decisions, whether I liked it or not, I gave up my reasons of excuses. So, Father, tonight I thank you. As we're surrendering to you our life, our heart. We're going to sing this again. If you're ready to stand, I want you to stand. If you're not, that's okay. I completely understand. But don't let anything hold you back if your heart says, God, I give you my life. Because He'll take you right now. Right now, He'll take you, accept you, and walk with you through every part of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But this is what He's after. He's after your heart. So go ahead, sing it again, Lord, if you will. Hallelujah. Now just with your hands lifted a little bit, get your heart ready. Because from this moment on, you're never alone. From this moment on, you can trust that God will never, ever abandon you. And from this moment on, you now know you have everything you need to overcome everything you face. And there's a grace coming for you from your Father. It has healing, it has strength, it has courage, it has anointing. It's for you. It's exactly for you. Because you're willing to give Him the most precious thing that He wants. It's not your time. It's your heart. So, Father, I thank you now. They're not leaving here the same. Things they failed in the past, they won't have to fail anymore. Fears they failed in the past, they won't have to fail anymore. Father, in Jesus' name, release your grace on each of them right now. Go ahead and just receive it now. Jesus. Jesus, your grace on them now. Jesus, your grace on them now. I break the hurt off of them. I break fear off of them right now. I break the past off of them in Jesus' name. Father, they won't be stopped. Your grace is their strength. Thank you, Father. Let's just sing it one last time. This time, sing it now as you already have surrendered. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you. I thank you so much for such a wonderful group. Young people who love you. Their future is amazing, what you have in store for them. There's no limits. No limits on them. So I thank you that we leave here with your grace and your presence. And we'll never be alone, ever. We'll never face a challenge without you. Thank you, Father, for believing in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many feel that grace on you? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how you give him your heart. He'll hold nothing back from you. Amen. You can be seated real quick if you would. Just going to give you a few instructions before I cut you loose. I didn't mean to go this long, but I'm notorious for going longer. Make sure you find a partner, if you don't have one where you live, one that's going to help you pray. Encourage you to stay in prayer. If you don't have one, then let me know, and we will find you someone. And then find someone. Find a man of God or a woman of God that's not does not have an agenda. And bounce things off of them, big decisions, like who are you going to marry? You know, part of the problem we run into when you pray in tongues a lot is you may have a hard time fitting into a normal church. And I understand that. But because of that, you lose some of the best things about being in a church, which is having experienced people to encourage you one way or another. So, try to find someone. If you can't, let me know. We'll find someone for you. Okay? We believe in you. And remember, you're the heart of the conference.